one of the things which I guess would never have been even contemplated maybe 20 years ago or something is that free jazz and that kind of music could be played in a club setting. Do you think that's like, there's been a, I guess like an, almost like a Giles Peterson effect, which like makes it acceptable to play Sun Ra or Pharoah Sanders or something like that, just, you know, in a club?
I don't
or,
know.
You know,
well, the thing is that, you know, that whole kind of dancing to jazz is pretty much a British thing, or dancing to that, you know, that era of jazz. And that era meaning, I suppose, from, like, late 50s kind of, I suppose, like, a lot of the bop stuff all the way up until all the Latin stuff and Pharoah, because those guys, it's a bit like the Northern Soul phenomenon where you get in contact with the original musicians.
Yeah.
And they're freaked out that a load of British people are, like, you know, hailing them as heroes when they maybe only released two records and went back to work as a postman.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, no, I think there's always been a good, strong, you know, jazz dance scene in the UK since, you know, since the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's been a bit of a generational thing where it's kind of waned and then come back again. But obviously people like, you know, Giles and Patrick Forge and you know, Snowboy and Paul Murphy and people like that, you know, it's weird because, you know, Pete Tong was playing that stuff back in the day as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the, you know, well, back in the early 80s, you know, bits of soul and fusion and little bits of jazz and stuff like that. So, I don't know. It's people have always danced to jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say a lot of the Pharoah Sanders stuff that gets played in clubs is particularly free jazz. I mean, you know, stuff, or even things like, I don't know, Art Ensemble of Chicago, you know, Them Da Yo-Yo. Sure, you know, obviously there's a, you know, there's kind of, the chorus is pretty atonal and freaky, but it's, you know, it's got a really good groove to it.
Yeah.
So that's like, that's not a risky record to play, you know what I mean? Because even if you're like, whoa, what's this heavy bit? You know, the groove kicks back in and everyone goes crazy, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I find there's, you know, kind of a lot of energy with the Sun Ra stuff and, you know, things like the Languidity album or, you know, UFO or even stuff like A Perfect Man, you know what I mean? It's kind of, even though it's pretty experimental, there's always a root, you know, there's always got a good groove to it. There's a good, you know, good heavy rhythm section, you know, and a lot of the earlier stuff is really, you know, a lot of it's like doo-wop or blues and that kind of thing. So there's always connections to other stuff, so it's not like, you know, I probably wouldn't play a Tony Oxley album in a club simply because, you know, it's, there's no repetition whatsoever, there's no rhythm, and they're deliberately not playing any musical notes, but it's very engaging to listen to. But I played Steve Reich in a club, but, you know, that's kind of, that, you know, but you can tell that a lot of the, you know, underground resistance people have been listening to stuff like that simply because of the way that, you know, their kind of arpeggios are. It's, you know, it's, yeah, there's so many, it's not, I don't even think of stuff in terms of genre. It's just like that record reminds me of that other record. They might have been made 30 years apart, but there's something, they have something in common, and that's kind of, you know, each record has its own little place somewhere on the dance floor, I think.